like to investigate things, you know, and I actually went through a couple church parking lots this morning just to see what was going on, because since now we start late at 12 o'clock, it gives me opportunity to kind of see what's happening, you know, and see how other churches are doing. I want to be a cheerleader when it comes down to churches. I want to see them grow. I want to see great gatherings. You know, I believe in the gatherings of the body of Christ. I love the body of Christ. And I was talking to somebody on the phone the other day, and it's like, you know, the one thing I don't want to do is discourage people from coming to the house of God. And as I drove through a couple different church parking lots, and it was just one church parking lot I drove through, and it could literally hold probably at least maybe 1,000 people in the building. There might have been 20 cars in the parking lot this morning. And I was like, God, what, you know, if there's anything that we need right now, we need the message of hope. We need the gathering of the saints. Come on, aren't you glad that we're able to gather together today? Come on, in Jesus' name, that we're able to gather together. And yesterday I had the opportunity to minister to a group of ministers that I'm connected with, Pastor Anthony and SFGM Ministry. And there were maybe, there was 12 of us on yesterday on a Zoom gathering, ministers from Florida, Texas, Chicago, Canada. There were ministers from all around the nation, and I had an opportunity to minister to them yesterday, and I'm actually going to talk to you about the same thing I talked about with them yesterday, and it was so good to see Pastor Anthony, and I invited him to come up this year. Hopefully he'll be able to get up and get out of the state this year, and as I was talking to a lot of them, I believe that some of them just now start having drive-in services. They haven't met in person yet. One time they met in person, and then they stopped, and so now they're going to come back again, hopefully in a week or two, and start having in-person services. And so, but I'm thankful that you're here today. I'm so glad that you're here, and I want to go ahead and jump into the Word. Are you ready for the Word? All right. So let's pray, and I know that there's some activities following the service today, and let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for today. We pray for your word to go forth with power. I pray that it would touch my life, God, and it would touch the lives of your people. And I pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit would minister a word. God, minister a word within the word today. And God, I depend on you. Holy Spirit, have your way in Jesus' name. And we all said amen. The last 2 weeks, we've been talking about one guy in the Bible. Does anybody know what his name is? What's the name of the prophet in the Bible that we've been talking about? Elijah. And so this morning, as I was at home today and getting ready for church, and my grandson was in our home this morning, and I'm watching him walk through. I said, "Grandson, I'm gonna be talking about you today. We'll be talking about Elijah." And as he was walking through, I just want to share with. This has nothing to do with the message, but I was just thinking about Elijah, and he's walking around, and I'm looking at this baby, you know, and I'm thinking to myself, the prophet Elijah was this age at one time. You know what I mean? I think about these things, and I rewind, you know, because, you know, maybe he went through a growing stage, and he cried, and Elijah just learned how to walk, you know? I think about those things. You know, Jesus was a baby at one time. Think about these things. You know what I mean? It's like Jesus just wasn't born 30 years old. You know, he just, you know, he didn't wake up one day and was 30. You know what I mean? Like there's, you know, these men of God are prophets. And I was looking at my grandson this morning, and I was saying to myself, I wonder what God is going to do in him and through him 30 years from now. And when I look at our young people like that, and I look around the room and I see our children, and I see young men and young ladies in the room, and I don't look at them as what they are at this moment. I look at them as what God's going to do in them. And my message to parents is this: one of the greatest things that we may ever do, it may not be something that we personally accomplish while we're alive on the earth, but one of the greatest things that we can ever do as parents is not by what we do personally, but by raising up our children in the ways of the Lord, leaving a legacy, That's amazing. That's what God is looking for. And so in the same way, Elijah was in a big transition in his life. He just had a mountaintop experience. He just called fire down from heaven. You remember the story. I don't want to go through it again, but he called fire down from heaven. And then the next breath, he heard rain was coming. He got into a place of prayer, and it rained. And for 3.5 years, it never rained, and it began to rain. And then as soon as it started to rain, he got a message about an enemy of his named Jezebel. Jezebel wasn't a nice person, all right? And so Jezebel was married to a man named Ahab. And so Jezebel got word. Ahab said to Jezebel, Elijah killed all the prophets of Baal. They're all dead. And that got her mad. That got her violent because she was a follower of Baal. She did not want to have anything to do with God. And so Elijah was probably hoping that because of this great God victory, that there was going to be a revival in the nation. But little to his surprise, he got surprised the next day. And instead of Jezebel turning to God, Jezebel actually made a death threat to Elijah. And he said, let the gods do to me. By this time tomorrow, within 24 hours, I'm going to make sure you're dead. And in that moment, the fire calling down guy ran for his life. I'm in 1 Kings chapter 18. I'm sorry, chapter 19. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, also how he had executed the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent message to Elijah and said, let the gods do to me also, if I do not make your life as the one of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. He goes and he sits down under a broom tree. Everybody say a broom tree. He sits down under a broom tree and he prayed that he might die. Are you hearing this now? He prayed that he would die. I've had enough, God. Take my life. For I'm no better than the ancestors who have already died. What a bipolar moment that Elijah was having. Come on, think about this for a minute. Because just a day ago, he prayed and God answered by fire. Mountaintop experience, revival moment. Can I say this? That anytime that we have a mountaintop experience and an encounter with God, it will always be tested. It will always be tested. Every time that you have a meeting with God, anytime that you meet with Him and have this moment in the presence of God, it will always be tested. But wasn't this the same guy who just called fire down? Why is there so many bipolar Christians? Why is it that we come out of the prayer closet and we're speaking in tongues and we're cussing the next? No, nobody does that here, right? No. Maybe that church that's closed down the road. Maybe that's the church. But nobody in here, you're in prayer for an hour and you come out and you have World War, III with your husband or your wife and go speak in tongues now. No, nobody's ever done that, right? No. Adam Buttershed, you're like, you don't even want to start there. And it is so easy. Sometimes, and I'm not talking about bipolar. If you're bipolar, take your medicine. I'm sorry, okay? But the word bipolar means from one extreme to another. The pole represents this. It's anyway, I was doing some study on Mayo Clinic, according to Mayo Clinic. It's one extreme to another, basically. And so Elijah's having this moment where he's calling fire down from heaven. Now he's praying to die. Aren't you glad that God sometimes doesn't answer some prayers? Come on. He just prayed for fire to fall. Fire fell. He prayed for it to rain. It began to rain. Now he prays for himself to die. How many's ever said that? Oh, God, kill me. Okay, you got a flat tire. Okay, just change the tire, man. Don't pray to die. It's going to be all right. Just a little bit of a delay. And so he prays to die. And thank God, God didn't answer that prayer. Okay? I was thinking about some arguments in our married couples in here. I wish you would die. I mean, wish that person would die. I mean, you know, okay, let's keep going. So, now watch this. So, he sits down under this broom tree, okay? He sits down under this tree, and he prays that he would die, okay? And an angel of God came and touched him. He said, get up and eat. And by his head was some cake, baked on some coals, and a jar of water. So he ate and he drank. And then you know what he did after that? He laid down again. Has anybody ever... I went to a second sleep this morning. Does anybody ever do that? Like you wake up and you're ready for today, and then all of a sudden, you go into a second sleep. And getting out of that second sleep is way harder than getting up the first time. Come on, can somebody say amen to that? And so this morning, I got up out of the second sleep. I was like, oh my God, why'd I do that? And so Elijah went to sleep again. But watch this. I love this part. The angel of the Lord came back a second time. Everybody shout a second time. A second time he comes. And he says, okay, get up and eat because the journey is too great for you. How many is happy for the second touch? How many is so thankful that God doesn't give up on us when we go back into our sleep again? And then when we go ahead and we shut God off and like we go ahead and we just shut ourselves off and we just want to go to sleep. How many glad that God never gave up on you? I'm so glad for the second touch. I'm so thankful that God doesn't give up on me when I give up on myself. How many know that God doesn't give up on you? Somebody shout, God never gives up on me. The second time. Thank God for the second chances. And he got up and he went on to strengthen that food for 40 days all the way to Horeb. 40 days. Do you know how long this was? He just didn't walk in a circle for 40 days. It was a 200-mile walk. For 200 miles, Elijah walked. Where did he go? He went to the mountain of God. And I can just think in the back of his mind, probably thinking, you know, because years before that, Moses had an encounter with God at Horeb. And I believe that Elijah was at a place in his life that he needed a fresh touch from God. And there are some here today that even though you may be doing the work of the Lord, maybe you may even have a prayer life. Maybe you too once had great faith. But there comes a time in our life where we need a fresh encounter with God. And so Elijah, instead of running from God, he actually ran to God. Can I say something? That one of the greatest places that you can run to is run to God when you're in trouble. Why is it that a lot of times that when we're in a bad place and we get a bad diagnosis or we're going through a hard time, we want to run away from God? Don't run away from God. Look at somebody and say, don't run away. Hit somebody in the head and say, don't run away from God. Run to God. He ran to the Lord, but it took him 200 miles to get there. Can I say something? Elijah didn't take the easy way out. Sometimes, you know, meeting with God, it takes a lot of effort. Are you hearing this? Sometimes it doesn't make sense when you want to go meet with God. Sometimes you got to go out of your comfort zone. Come on, I'm teaching something very, very good today. Come on, you got to hear this. Sometimes it takes you out of your comfort zone. Sometimes it's going to take you off of course. Sometimes it's going to take us into a place where we're all by ourselves. We would love to have a whole party, a whole group of people come with us when we're going to go to church or we're going to go to the house of God or go meet with God. But sometimes you got to be all by yourself when it comes down to going after God. And I admire people that go after God even by themselves. There are people in this room that go after God all by yourself. You may be the only person in your family that's going after God. And you're making a choice to say, you know what? I'm going to go after God. And so he comes to this mountain. And when he gets to the mountain of God, he goes in and he spends the night there. When he wakes up the next morning, God begins to speak to him. And God asks him a question. What are you doing here, Elijah? What a moment. What a moment here that God is speaking to Elijah and says, man, what are you doing here? Do you think that God really didn't know the answer to that question? Don't you know that God will always offend the mind to reveal the heart? God will always ask us hard questions, doesn't he? He will always ask us questions that will reveal what's on the inside of us. When you hear somebody talk, you'll hear their heart. And he says, what are you doing here, Elijah? And I want to stop right here for a minute. And I want to ask you the same question. What are you doing here? Maybe you feel like you're in a dry place. Maybe you feel like you're all alone. Maybe you feel like you're the only one that's left. Because Elijah, as soon as he said that, he said, I have been very zealous about the Lord's business. All your prophets are dead. The people have broken covenant with you. They've torn down altars. And I'm the only one left. Have you ever felt that way, that you're the only one trying to serve God in your family? Come on, raise your hand if you feel that way. Maybe you feel like you're the only one trying to serve the Lord. It's like, and here's Elijah. It's like, what's the use? And so God is asking you, what are you doing here? What is the name of your cave? And what God was saying to Elijah, Elijah, how did you get in this place? You just called fire down from heaven a little over a month ago. How did you get in this place? What happened? And that's the same thing God is asking all of us here today. At one time, you was full of faith. At one time, you were calling fire down from heaven. At one time, you were afraid to watch, you know, the wrong TV show. At one time, you never cussed. At one time, you always came in agreement with God with the tithe. You always served. At one time, you was always doing it. Now God is saying that, what happened? Look at somebody and say, what happened? Or maybe you got to take out your phone and just turn it around, make a selfie, a video, and say, what happened to me? What did I do? How did I get in this place? How did I get in this cave? What are you doing in this place? Oftentimes when we get into this place, it's very easy to feel like we're the only one left. Elijah felt all alone. This is the voice of many who's stuck in a cave. Everyone else ain't serving, so why should I? How can I serve God when everyone else ain't serving? It's too hard, too much pressure, too much temptation. I'm really struggling financially. I'm kind of hurt on God, you know. I'm just not ready yet. It's just not the right time. This is the voice of people stuck in a cave, stuck in discouragement, stuck in a place of worry. You're stuck in hopelessness, stuck in compromise, always bringing up the past, never looking forward to the future, stuck in a place of addiction, stuck in a place of unbelief, stuck in fear, stuck. Come on, look at somebody and say, I ain't got no time to be stuck. Are you stuck? Are you stuck? Am I stuck? We got to ask ourselves this question. Am I stuck? Look at somebody and say, don't get stuck. And so here is Elijah. He's running for his life. He feels by himself. He's in this moment with God. And God says to him this, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. He said, I want you to come out of this cave. What was God saying here? He was saying, come out of this dark place. That's what God is saying to you today. Get out of this place. Come back out of this place and come back into my presence. He said, get out of this cave and stand in the presence of God. God knew that there was nothing wrong with his theology, but God knew that Elijah needed a fresh encounter with God. And that's what I hear God saying today. It's not that your belief system is off, it's that your experience is off. You're having less God experiences. You're having less God encounters. Before, you used to always you'd have a notebook by your bed, or you would come in, and I think of you, Buttershine, you know, all the time, because I remember I was at work, and you was in this moment with God, and I'll never forget, you were here this day, and like you had these papers, and like you had to leave them here. Remember that? It was the middle of the day, and I came from work because I wanted to be here. I wanted to be a part of that, and I remember that moment. And this is what I hear God saying. There are a lot of us in here today that has had these moments where you've been so close to God that you literally would take God at his word. And somewhere along the line, we have drifted into a place of religion. We have drifted into a place of like muscle memory. Do you know what I'm talking about when it comes down to muscle memory? You see, there are things that we do just out of second nature, because it just happens like that. It's just second nature. It's like a reflex. And see, there are a lot of people that serve the Lord out of reflex. There are a lot of people that serve the Lord out of memory. There are a lot of people that serve the Lord instead of serving him from intimacy and fresh encounters. They're living for him off of what happened years ago and what they used to do and how they used to serve the Lord, how they used to pray. There are some of us in here today, you're praying the same prayer for 25 years. God wants you to even change up your prayer life. And I'm not putting a person down because you prayed the same way for 25 years, but I'm saying try something different. Use different wording. For real. Think about that for a minute. Use a different word. When you're in prayer, use different words to describe the same word you used to pray. And I guarantee you, your prayer life will turn around. Why? Because now you're thinking of something different. You're thinking of it different. There are some in here that, who likes to listen to worship music while you're in prayer and spending time with God? Does any? Okay, good. Three people spend time with God here. Awesome. Great church. And so, you're listening to worship. And as you're listening to worship, even when we're singing these songs here, it can get real easy that we just begin to sing the songs and never encounter God. Why? Because we know the songs so well that we're just singing the songs instead of encountering God. I don't know if this makes sense. Because from memory, we're singing the songs from memory, and we're singing it instead of really having this intimate moment with God. We cannot serve God from memory. There are people that serve a ministry from memory. I'm guilty of that. Sometimes I hit the cruise control button, and I'll just listen. I've been ministering for a long time. I'm not bragging that. I'm not saying anything. But if you're in ministry for a while, guys, I pastored this church for 14 years. I've been in ministry. I youth pastored for 3 years. Ministered in Virginia for 2 years. I've been in ministry for 20 years. In 20 years, I probably preached thousands of messages. I can go to my computer and I've got messages after messages on my saved. My point is this, is that I can come in and I could just go ahead and just, I can dish out something that I've already preached, but it not be real to me, but it not be new to me. And I'm preaching even from memory. I don't want to preach from memory. The day that I get myself into a place where I'm no longer moved by God, as a minister of the gospel, the day that I'm no longer moved by His presence is the day, believe me, I will stop. I always want to be fresh. I always want to have fresh encounters with God. I always want the message to minister to me first before it touches. Because if it doesn't minister to me, if I'm not connecting with it, how's it going to connect with you? Can somebody say amen? So Elijah comes out of the cave. Look at somebody say, get out of the cave. He comes out of the cave, but this time he comes out a little different. He comes out this time with his head wrapped in his mantle. Now his mantle represented his prophetic office. He was a prophet. And so whenever you would see somebody with this garment on, they would be recognized as a prophet of God. So this garment represented the assignment that was on his life. And so he comes out and he's shaking, he's trembling. And then all of a sudden, listen to this. All of a sudden, a violent wind comes and it breaks into the mountain. And he's looking, but God wasn't in that moment. Then all of a sudden, an earthquake came and shattered more things and shook the mountain. But God wasn't in that either. Then all of a sudden, fire came. And I'm sure Elijah probably felt, I know God's going to be here because he just answered by fire not too long ago. And sure enough, God wasn't in the fire. Does anybody know what happened next? Come on, shout it out if you know the story. All of a sudden, a still small voice came. All of a sudden, a voice like a whisper came. And as I first read this, I was like, God, why did you move? Why were you? If you weren't in those other three big things, how come you allowed it to happen? You see, sometimes God moves in different ways. Yes, he answered by fire a little over 40 days ago, but now he wants to talk to Elijah in a different way. What he was saying to Elijah, I'm going to do a new thing in your life. And that's what I hear God saying to all of us in this room here this morning, that God wants to do a new thing in your life. I'm telling you, there's coming a day where they're outlawing these gatherings. They're outlawing these gatherings as we speak. I got something on my news feed yesterday, and it was from CNN, and the picture said California blown up with coronavirus, right? And what's the picture of? You know what the picture of was? It was a picture of a worship leader named Sean Foyt. They had over 1,000 people on the beach having a church service last week. And they're blaming it on that. They're blaming on gatherings, on public gatherings like this, on worship gatherings. I'm telling you, there's coming a moment. We should never take this, what we're doing here on this Sunday morning, for granted. The privilege and the right that we have to gather together as the saints, as believers, to never take this for granted. I'm telling you, there's coming a day, and it's reaching us very quickly, that if we're not prepared spiritually, if we don't come out of the cave and serve God out of intimacy, if we just try to serve God from memory, we will never make it. We'll never make it. Many in this room will take the mark of the beast. Many in this room will not see heaven. Some in this room will be in a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. Why? Because we're trying to serve God from memory instead of intimacy. How do I know that? Many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we cast out demons in your name? Didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we do these things in your name? God will say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Your heart was far from me. Your lips were close to me. You served me from memory. You never had a relationship with me. Do we even think about these things? Do we even think about eternity? How temporary minded are we? It's time to come out of the cave. And so in this moment, he wrapped himself in his mantle. And God spoke to him again. He said, what are you doing here, Elijah? And Elijah answers the same way. I've been very zealous about the work of God. The altars are broke down. I'm by myself. He said the same exact thing. And then God said this to him. He said, I'm not done with you yet. I want you to return and do what I told you to finish. But now watch this. The wind came, the earthquake, and the fire. But then after that was what? The still small voice. Why the still small voice? Have you ever been around a low talker? Does anybody ever talk like this? You know, everything's good. Low talkers drive me crazy. Especially now. You're in the Royal Farm. They got four layers of plexiglass and a mask on. And they're trying to talk to you, and they always got the low talker back there. And I'm like, huh? And I'm screaming, I'm like, what? But the still small voice. And see, when somebody talks real low, and the whisper, it makes you have to lean in a little closer to hear what they've got to say. And so what God was saying in this moment, if there's a lot of stuff going on in that lobby, I need them to be quiet right now. Can everybody tell them to please stop or go out and play in the street? Thank you. I know. It's okay. They got to stop. We need order. Father, in Jesus' name, I call to order our thoughts right now, God. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Jesus name. Let me just pray just for a moment. Come on, all over this place. God, prepare our hearts. Prepare our hearts, God, for the coming persecution of the church. Prepare our hearts for the move of God. Prepare our hearts for the love of God today. Jesus' name. Elijah heard the whisper of God. The only way that we're going to regain intimacy with God, relationship with God, we learn how to lean into his heart again. Lean into what he's saying. God is doing a new thing. If you would rewind 12 months ago and look at today, 12 months ago from today looks nothing like it. We're a completely different world. Completely different. In order for us to be ready to have daily encounters with God, it's going to take leaning in to the heart of God. Here's my last thing. I want to close with this. Is that God said to him, he said, Elijah, I still got work for you to do. I want you to anoint the next prophet in your place, which his name was Elisha. I also want you to anoint the next king. And then after that, the third thing I want you to do is that there is a remnant of people that I want you to rescue. Basically, he was telling them, your work is not done yet. I want you to go out and finish what I began in your life. I'm confident of this very thing, that what God started, he's going to finish. But can I say this? The conditions are not going to always be perfect. God's plan for your life still exists in the midst of the enemy. Because how many know this? Jezebel still wanted to kill him. Right, Buttershy? Jezebel still wanted to kill him. Jezebel didn't lift the death threat from him. In the same way, we say, we'll serve God when things get better. We'll serve God when, you know, money gets a little better. Well, I'll serve God if you just heal my body, or if you just heal my son, or heal my daughter, or heal my family. God, I'll serve you then. God, please, come on. And this is what we have turned into. And God is saying, listen, now's the time. Today's the day of salvation. Today's the day. Stop waiting for tomorrow. Stop waiting for the future. The Bible says our life is but a vapor. It's here for a moment, and then it will pass away. God is not finished with you yet. So here's the last thing I want to ask you. The question is this. What is the name of your cave? There's some in this room right now. You're stuck in a cave. What's the name of that cave? Is it hurt? Is it disappointment? Is it unforgiveness? Is it pride? Is it an addiction? Is it emptiness? Is it laziness? Procrastination? Worry? Unbelief? Lukewarm living? Offense? Depression? What's the name of your cave? What's the name of your cave? And that's what I want you to think about right now for a moment. Because we're going to give this to the Lord. We're going to give this all the way to God today. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, you're the God of every moment. And right now, I pray over this thing. Come on, name your cave to God. What is it? What is this thing? Is it the past? Is it regret? What is the name of your cave? God is saying, today is the time to get out of that cave. Today is that day. Yes, I know you believe in God. Yes, I know that you have a strong belief in the Lord. But God is saying you're lacking encounters with God. You're lacking experiences. You're lacking this intimacy with God. And today's the day, would you come out of that cave? Right where you sit at represents the cave. Right where you sit at represents that thing that you're stuck in. Maybe it's the past. Maybe it's depression. Maybe it's a sickness. I don't know what the name of your cave is. But today, what I want us to do as an act of faith, faith doesn't always make sense. Faith doesn't always look responsible. But today, would you step out of that cave? Come on, let's all stand. You're ready to get out of this cave. Come on, stand to your feet. As an act of faith, I want to ask you to step out of the cave. Come on, would you come forward? For those that's ready to get out of this cave, I know we're limited with room. But come on, let's get to a place of prayer. Maybe some of the guys can help me push back some of these chairs. Let's push back some of these chairs. Let's make some room. Come on. Let's push back some room. Come on, get into a place with God right now. Maybe kneel down before the Lord. You want to stand? Whatever. Come on, we're going to get with God right now. Come on, just push these chairs out of the way. Wherever you want to get. Come on, let's get with God. Come on, sing that out, Josh. Come on, lift your hands. This is a time between you and the Lord. Come on. Come on, it's just you and God. Get out of this cave.
I just want you.
It's just you and Him.